We're in the section, Genesis chapters 29 through 31, that tell us of the 20 years that Jacob spent with Laban. And remember, Jacob obtained the birthright of the firstborn by deception and trickery, even though God had promised it to him. It was prophesied before he was born. Yet through deception, he obtained the birthright, the blessing of the firstborn. Because of this, Esau, who was the firstborn, hated his brother Jacob. Therefore, Jacob was sent to Rachel's family in Padanaram and in the city of Haran. And you remember when Jacob arrived at Haran, he arrived into Laban's house, and the phrase that I presented last week, you've got two car salesmen under the same roof. You've got one deceiver after another, two salesmen trying to get the best of each other. After Jacob had been there for 30 days, Laban approached him and said, well, since you're my relative, you ought to get paid for working. What do you want for your work around here? Knowing that Jacob loved Rachel. So he says, I want your daughter Rachel. So he says, you work for me for 7 years, you can have my daughter Rachel. So he works for 7 years, and on wedding night, he dresses Leah up, his oldest, and dresses her up and presents her to Jacob on wedding night. When he wakes up the next morning, he finds out that it's Leah and it is not Rachel. And so he comes to Laban, and in verse 26 of chapter 29, Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. So fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. So he says, if you really want Rachel, he says, the reason I switched on you was that the custom in our country was that the oldest marries first. Of course, he never told him this ahead of time, and he tricked him. So Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he actually worked for a week, and he was given Rachel as wife, and yet he worked for yet another 7 years. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel. Now remember, Zilpah, the maid, was given to Leah. These four will play a prominent role. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years, so 14 years. Now, tonight we want to focus on Genesis chapter 29, verse 31, through chapter 30, verse 24. I hope it is as fascinating to you as it is to me. We went over verses 31 through 35 last week, but it continues. This is as the Bible turns saga here. But the fascinating thing about this whole thing, notice the interaction of the people. Notice how the sons of Jacob received their names. It was not out of some kind of dreamland prophecy that the 12 sons, which the 12 tribes of Israel came out of, they did not receive it out of the clouds. This was out of wrestling and struggle and envy and anguish and jealousy. And the interesting part about this is, and I'll point this out, we're going to go through it twice. The first time through will be the struggle between the individuals involved, the four, the Leah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Bilhah, the two maids are going to be, you'll notice that the word wife is used in the text, is that the two maids will also become the wives of Jacob. He will actually have four wives, and between the four wives, they will give birth to the 12 sons, and these 12 sons make up the 12 tribes of Israel. So the first time through, it's the struggle between the individuals involved and how they arrived at their names. The second time through, we're going to point out to you that all four women that bore the 12 sons, all four women represent four segments of Israel's history. And the sons themselves and their names represent the history of Israel in chronological order. It's a fascinating thing to see that out of this, God's sovereignty and His will and His almightiness pulls out His will out of this whole mess. I love to read the mess first. I mean, it reads for a good soap opera for television, you know, but it also gives us hope because this is what the nation Israel was built on, but it wasn't built on these people, just like the body of Christ today is not built on us. And we need to get our focus and attention away from people. It's the working of the Lord. He's working in spite of our frailties and in spite of our weaknesses. It is His work, and He is doing it. In chapter 29, verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, or literally she was hated, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren, just like the Lord. Rachel was loved by Jacob, so He closed her womb so she would not bear children, and Leah's womb was opened so that she would bear children. So this is all the dealing of the Lord here as to how this whole scenario works out. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, which literally means see a son or behold a son. For she said, the Lord has surely looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. So I'll win my husband over now. She'll present Reuben and say, behold, I've given birth to a son to you. Reuben, which is what the Hebrew means. Reuben, look, Reuben, I've borne a son to you. And this way, she says, it'll cause my husband to love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, He has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, from Shamah in Hebrew, which means to hear. God's heard me. So He's given me a second son. And of course, she's also looking over at Rachel, saying, Rachel's got, it's two to nothing. It's two zip here. Certainly God's heard me. I'm the unloved one. And God's heard my cry. And I shall name him Simeon, which means he is heard. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I've borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi, which means attached or joined. She says, certainly three sons will cause my husband to be attached to me. She's trying to win her husband over. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, which means praise. Then she stopped bearing. She bore four sons, and she was just praising the Lord after four sons. Notice the names. Behold a son. Second was Simeon, because God has heard. Third, Levi, which means attached or joined. And the fourth is Judah, or praise. Now Leah stops bearing children. As we open up chapter 30. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, here's where the soap opera really gets interesting. Leah's up four zip. Okay? Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, give me children or else I'm going to die. And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel. And he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? It's God who's done this. It's not my fault. Am I God here? I mean, God's opened up Leah's womb and He's closed yours. Now, am I supposed to play the place of God here? But it was actually the envy between the two sisters that brought her to the point, says, you know, Leah's up four zip here. And you say you love me more than her. So what's the problem? Jacob's going, hey, you know, there's only so much I can do. That's up to God, see. So she said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child upon my knees, that I also may have children through her. Now the custom in the days was if a woman could not bear, and she were to give her maid or someone taking her place to bear her children, is that when the child was born, is that the one who was not able to bear would bear the child. As the child came out, she would bear the child on her knees. And as soon as the child came out, the child was placed on her knees. And it was like a ceremony, it was a transfer, that it was in symbolic form as if she bore the child, because the woman was bearing the child for her. So Rachel gives Bilhah to Jacob. He goes into her so that she will bear a child upon my knees, that I also may have children through her. So if I can't bear children, then my maid will bear children, and when she gives birth, the child will be born upon my knees as if they're my children, and therefore I will give birth. I mean, she wants to have kids real bad. Her sister's up for zip, and she's not going to. She's come to Jacob. She says, "What can I do?" And she says, "Okay, then take my maid." But notice what she said, verse 4, "Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as a wife." Not just as a concubine or somebody to take her place, but Bilhah now becomes his third wife. "And Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, 'God has judged my case. And he also has heard my voice and given me a son.' Therefore she called his name Dan," which means judged.
What?
Judged. "And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, 'With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister.'" Now notice, this is all in envy. "'With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister. Indeed, I have prevailed.' So she called his name Naphtali," which means wrestling. Verse 9. "When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid." She says, this is getting too close. It's 4-2. "And she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as a wife." Now notice, this becomes his fourth wife. She's not just taking her place for a while. He now has four wives. I hope the young people here aren't getting the wrong idea. "And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, 'A troop is coming.'" I mean, he was coming on like gangbusters. "So she called his name Gad," which means a troop. A troop.
Be gad.
It couldn't mean luck or fortune.
Well, it's an alternative view depending on where you put the vowel points in Hebrew. But it is interesting that the word troop here and the word gad are the same. They're both. Verse 12. "And Leah's maid, Zilpah, bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, 'I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed.' So she called his name Blessed." That's what Asher means, to be blessed. "Certainly I have been blessed." Now Reuben, remember this is the firstborn of Leah, firstborn son to Jacob. "Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest, and found mandrakes in the field." A mandrake is a yellow apple found in Palestine. "And brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah," and I get the picture here, and I'm not trying to add to the Bible, but you get the picture that all this time, Rachel and Leah are not talking. Rachel... And so Leah has the mandrakes. "Then Rachel said to Leah, 'Please give me some of your son's mandrakes.' But she said to her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? You got my husband. You want the apples too?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes." She said, "I'll make you a deal. If you give me your son's yellow apples, I'll let him stay with you tonight." When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, poor guy, he's got four wives and all these kids. He comes in from the field, and look what he's told. "Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, 'You're mine. You come into me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes.' And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah." God heard Leah through all of this. "And she conceived. And she bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, 'God has given me my hire because I have given my maid to my husband.' So she called his name Issachar, which means hire or wages. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, 'God has endowed me with a good endowment or inheritance. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons.'" Now you imagine what Rachel thinks, because she made a deal. She says, "You can have him tonight if I get the yellow apples." Well, Leah conceives and she starts bearing sons again. Yep, more than likely. You'll have to tune in next week, I think. Verse 20, "And Leah said, 'God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons.' So she called his name Zebulun, which means to dwell. And afterward she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah," which is interesting, which means judgment again, from the same word that Dan comes from. And we'll see her later on, what role she plays in all of this. Then God remembered Rachel, the last segment of bearing. And God listened to her and opened her womb. So you can imagine, Rachel has been crying out to God. She hired out her husband to Leah. She began to bear again. She's naming sons that just make Rachel ready to climb the wall. So she's crying out to God, and so God remembers Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." So she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Joseph from Yosef in Hebrew, which means to add, or God will add a son. Yosef means to add. Joseph, God will add yet another son. If you hold your place there, because we're going to come back to it, go over to chapter 35. After Jacob returns to his homeland, very sad ending. Verse 16 of Genesis 35, "Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel travailed in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, 'Do not fear, you will have this son also.' And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she had died when she gave birth to this last son, that she called his name Ben-Oni, which means son of sorrow." Because Rachel will die in giving birth to the son. "But his father called him Ben-Yamin, which means son of my right hand. And Jacob set a pillar on her grave," which is the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. We'll get more of that as we travel here with Jacob later on in chapter 35, but just to see the sons of the 12 tribes of Israel. Quite an interaction between the women and Jacob, and I can imagine the sons as well, all named after the hope and envy of the wives involved in a duel over the love, winning the love and affection of their husband, as well as a symbol of God's blessing upon them in their struggle and contest with between the two sisters. In the midst of all of this, I pointed it out to as we went through, is that in the midst of this whole mess, God either opened one's womb and closed the other, or listened to one and didn't listen to the other. God was working in the midst of this whole mess. If this study tonight doesn't give us hope, I don't know what will. I want to go back to verse 31 of chapter 29. If you think that these names were given by accident, of course we know it was out of envy and strife and struggle and hope as they were dealing with each other and trying to win Jacob's love over. But it is interesting that the very segments of Israel's history, their four segments of history, are actually pictured in the four women in their segments as they bore sons. And the sons that they bore represented, in chronological order, the history of the nation Israel. Notice verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, He opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived. Now this whole picture, verses 31 through 35, is a segment that represents Israel's in bondage in Egypt. Leah conceived, she bore a son named Reuben, which means, behold a son. Notice what verse 32 says, for the Lord has certainly looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. It's because of her affliction, because the Lord has looked upon me, He has given me Reuben. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 25, the children of Israel, same phraseology, children of Israel, cried out to God in the midst of their afflictions, and God beheld them because of their afflictions. Verse 32, then she conceived again and bore a son. The Lord has heard that I am unloved, and has given me this son also, and she called his name Simeon. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, it says, it adds to that Exodus 2:25 text, it says, not only did God look upon their affliction, but He heard their cries. Simeon, to hear. She conceived again and bore a son and said, this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore she called his name Levi, which means attached or joined. If you hold your place there and look with me into Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Again, in looking back as Israel was delivered out of Egypt, because He saw their afflictions and He heard their cries, Reuben and Simeon. Now it's Levi, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 and 32. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. It represents their deliverance out of Egypt, and when they were delivered out of Egypt, God says they were attached to me and I was their husband. Kind of an interesting presentation. We are the bride of Christ. We are joined to Christ. God looked back on this incident of the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt, and He called him attached to them through covenant as their husband. And in verse 34, Leah had said, "Because I've borne him three sons, and now this time my husband will be attached to me." So she called him Levi. God was attaching the nation Israel to himself. He was their husband when he delivered them out of Egypt. Fourthly, verse 35, she conceived again, bore a son. "Now I will praise the Lord." Exodus chapter 15, after the crossing of the Red Sea, the praises to God for his deliverance out of the land of Egypt. So verses 31 through 35, the sons born to Leah and their names in chronological order line up with, interesting, the Hebrew phraseology in the picture of God dealing with and delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, joining them to himself, he being their husband, and their praise to him for his deliverance. Now, chapter 30, we enter into Rachel, a totally different segment. And this is out of envy and strife. "Give me some children, I'm going to die." If that doesn't remind you, what segment would that remind you of the children of Israel? The children of Israel said the same thing. "God's brought us out here to die." So she said, "Here's my maid Bilhah, go into her, and she'll bear upon my knees." So Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Verse 6, Rachel says, "God has judged my case. He's heard my voice and given me a son." Therefore she called his name Dan, or judgment. The children of Israel out in the wilderness were judged by God because of their bitterness against him at the waters of Meribah. Got all these names, get them all mixed up. You go through it twice, try three times. Totally different text. And Rachel's maid conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed." So she called his name Naphtali. Interesting, as the children of Israel, after they were judged at Meribah, they confronted the Amalekites. And it is interesting, remember, as Moses lifted his arms up, the children of Israel prevailed. And when he dropped his arms, they did not prevail. The Amalekites prevailed. So the wrestling and the battle that the children of Israel had with Amalekites represented in their wilderness wanderings. Next, "And when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Zilpah bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, 'A troop comes.'" So she called his name Troop. Interesting. This segment now is the children of Israel as they enter into Canaan. Seven Canaanite nations come up against Israel as they enter into the land. A troop of Canaanites come up against the nation Israel. "And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, 'I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed.' So she called his name Asher, and the nation of Israel called themselves Asher, because when the Canaanite nations and the troops came against them, God gave them the strength to prevail and to conquer the enemy troops that came against them." So then Reuben goes out, finds the mandrakes in the field, and the contest, the struggle between Rachel and Leah. And Rachel, in verse 15, finally says, "Therefore he can lie with you tonight if you give me your son's yellow apples." So when Jacob came in, Leah went out and said, "Surely I have hired you with my son's mandrake, the wages and inheritance." And he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, "God has given me my hire, my wages, because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar. The wages and hire and inheritance, this is coupled with Leah's sixth son. "God has endowed me with an inheritance," or a dowry. The inheritance that God gave and the wage and blessing that God gave to Israel as they entered into the land and they were obedient and conquered the troops. And he gave them the land as an inheritance, as an endowment. And she said, certainly my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him 6 sons. So she called his name Zebulun, which means dwelling. All of this, of course, the inheritance that God gave to the Israelites, they now dwelt in the land, and that was their inheritance. God said, I will give you this land as an inheritance. And afterwards she bore a daughter, called her name Dinah. Now the last phase, separated from all the others, God remembered Rachel. And God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. It is interesting that as Joseph was born, that he should be called Addison. For God says that God will add another son to me. We read in chapter 35. And Rachel died in giving birth to Benjamin, in Hebrew, which means son of sorrow, but Jacob renamed him son of my right hand. All of that pointing to the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus Christ is at the right hand, and he is the Son of God. This last segment of dealing with Rachel, the last 2 sons born, point to the Messianic age and the coming of the Messiah and the promise of the Messiah to Israel. So it's interesting that as you go through the names, and it's interesting that each of the names have to do with a segment of Israel's history. And each of the sons named, whether it be 2 or 4 of them, all had to do with a certain segment of that history. And as another woman would start bearing and the others would leave off bearing, that the children born, the sons born to her, all had to do in their names and chronological order with a certain segment of Israel's history. And I don't know about you, I find that fascinating if you're into that kind of stuff. How these people can be struggling with each other, hiring each other out, the jealousy and the envy. I can't bear, so marry my maid and she'll bear children for me and then I'll have children. And what a mess, you know?
Well, the next verse I read again, he's tired of it, he wants to get out of there.
Well, I don't know. Well, yeah. I don't know if that's such a good idea. I think he's got it pretty good. He's basically saying, I want to take everybody out of here and have my own. Have them for myself, and it'll be interesting how Laban and Jacob. Actually, next week we want to take chapter 30, verse 25, all the way through chapter 31, and take the dealings between Jacob and Laban. Chapter 32 is one of the most fascinating chapters, not only in Genesis but in the Bible. Is before Jacob returns, he's going to wrestle with God, and he's going to come up lame. He's going to come up crippled. And it is interesting, that's a whole study in and of itself. I don't know how people respond to God dealing with people through the physical realm, but certainly in Genesis chapter 32, before Jacob returned to the promised land as God promised him, God wrestled with Jacob, and Jacob came up lame, and renamed him and said, you will no longer be called Jacob, the deceiver or supplanter, but now you'll be called Israel, which literally means ruled by God. And in order to rule him, God had to break him. God let him go through 20 years of this deceiving, going back and forth with Laban. And finally, before God could use him for the very reasons that God had him for back in his father's land, is that he came in a cripple. He was broken, no longer dependent upon his physical strength and no longer dependent upon his own ways of doing things, but he was now ruled by God. He came back a broken man. Not broken in spirit, but broken in heart, in the sense that he was now submitted to the Lord, is that God let him go for 20 years, and in the end, God wrestled with him, and he was broken, and now he was totally dependent upon the Lord. He was now ruled by God. That's what Israel means. The nation Israel is a nation that is ruled by God. That's why people of the world, the nations of the world, have to take heed. God rules that nation. So if you want to mess with them, you're in trouble. Because God has a blessing upon them, those people. Those are His people. So it's a fascinating thing to see that in the midst of the struggle, of the envy and the strife between the wives and between Jacob, that the sons' names were given with the hope and the envy and struggle between them all. And yet they happen to be the sons of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they happen to also represent in chronological order what Israel would go through in their history. And this is all brought about by the Lord. It was not an accident that they were named the way they were named. It's not an accident that their name should line up with the very segments of Israel's history. God had His hand in it all. And the message is that God will deal with us individually to bring us to Himself. He will break us, do whatever it takes to bring us to Himself. But in the midst of it all, in the midst of our weaknesses, in the midst of God dealing with us, God is sovereign. His will be accomplished. Okay, let's close with prayer. Lord, we do come before You tonight, praising You for Your sovereignty and for Your greatness, and for the fact that Your word and Your will be accomplished in spite of us and in the midst of us. And we just pray that You would cause us to read the Scriptures, to focus us, our attention upon You and Your dealings with man. That even though man in his envy and strife and struggle with one another causes heartache and struggle and hardship for himself, yet in the midst of it all, You bring about Your word and Your will. We thank You for the beautiful picture that we have before us in Genesis, the book of Genesis, the pictures for us, the beginnings of all things. It is fascinating to learn, to go back and learn of the history of the beginnings of the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we just thank You that we can view these mighty men of God, mighty men of the faith. We see their weaknesses. We see their strugglings. We see ourselves. We recognize that we are in our weaknesses. We are in our need of looking to You for our strength and guidance and help. We just thank You for the encouragement that Your word brings to us, and the fact that it presents to us that in the midst of human failure and weakness, the fact that You know that we are but dust, that You are stronger than we, and that by Your grace You overcome and bring about Your will and Your word in each of our lives. We pray that You teach us to trust You more. Teach us to realize who You are, and the fact that You're going to lead us down that path and You will break us. But in the meantime, You will bring about Your will, because You are Lord and You are God. We thank You for that. We thank You for Your work in our lives. We thank You that You're our Savior. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.